All right, weekend is over. We're back to work. It is Monday on the Audible. Kimbo Camper, John Congemi with you here today. If you're watching us, you're watching us on Periscope. You can send your questions in. Just go to your message bar and send your questions in. We'll ask them the best we can, try to keep you updated with what's going on. And John, here we are. We continue to be in the situation where guys are out. Guys are on vacation. Coaches are on vacation. But it seems like I hear and see a lot of things about guys still working out pretty hard.
Well, I think so, Bo. Yeah. I think, you know, being around the building the last couple of days, and even when guys were heading out as soon as OTAs were over, you see familiar faces.
Yep.
You still see some of the coaches. You still see some of the players.
Yep.
And they're in there working out. They're in there getting stuff together. Yep. Or guys boxing stuff up to go on vacation. Yep. And still take out some shoes. Yep. And some shorts and T-shirts. So they're working out where they're going. So, you know, and these aren't guys that are trying to make the roster. These are guys that I've seen that are on the roster.
Yeah.
These are veteran players that are, you know, trying to stay healthy, trying to stay in shape.
Yeah.
So when training camp comes, they're ready to go.
It's funny. I ran into, I was in the gym working out today. I ran into John Boza, former Dolphin player, first round draft pick out of Boston College. Joey Boza was in there with him, his son working out. That guy's a beast, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
It's totally ridiculous. But anyway, we started talking about that, the differences between the way guys train right now. And I was telling him, I said, you know, we had Dave Beloka, the strength and conditioning coach in here, and he said he put together a program for all these guys when they began their conditioning days here, which I think is like mid-March.
Right.
Something like that, mid-March, late March. And so he had, everybody's program all set together. He says these guys showed up there in such good shape. I had to elevate their workouts because they were in better shape than I anticipated them being. And it kind of got in the conversation where, you know, nowadays these guys, it's a whole different thing. I think they view it more as a full year-round kind of thing and keeping themselves in shape. And it's kind of, I think a lot of them in the back of their minds, they go, you know, I worked my ass off from March until July, right, to get in the condition I need to be. Now we're off for almost a month, or the end of June, we're off for about a month. I'm not going to let that go to waste. I'm going to make sure that, I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to go somewhere, do this and that, but I'm going to make sure that I continue with some kind of conditioning so I don't lose all that work that I got to get to where I'm at right now.
Well, Bo, don't you think that, you know, you see guys like Dave, you see your coaches, your position coach more, you see the head coach more, you see other guys more. I just think when 20, 30 years ago, you didn't have this many things to attend as a player. It was on you for 4 or 5 months, maybe even 6 months, depending on when you finished. And when you showed up, it was on you to be in shape. But really, you got in shape.
Yeah.
In camp, you were kind of quasi in shape.
Well, but it was, there was a couple different things going on. I'm going back to, like, I got here in 1976. You had 6 preseason games.
That's true. You had plenty of time.
And you're in camp for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
You're going to get in shape. And guys would come in, and literally during the offseason, they had done probably almost nothing.
Right.
Look, they weren't – lifting weights wasn't as prevalent in this league as it certainly is now. A lot of, you know, training techniques were different, and guys just a lot of guys had jobs during the off season, so they couldn't work out.
Right.
So they come in, hey, look, I'm gonna be there for 9 weeks. There's 6 preseason games. I'll be in shape by the time the regular season starts, and that's the way they went about it.
And with these guys, Bo, this is probably the longest stretch since the end of the season when they were beat up anyway that they've had time on their hands to do something.
Right.
You know, so now is the time where if they let this slip this close to the season, they're kind of all that work they put in, it gets on the back burner. You know, you regress a little bit instead of staying on top of your regimen, staying on top of what each individual, you know, schedule you have to stay in shape to be at your optimum when you come into training camp.
And the other thing that's amazing about them, John, is they eat properly. I mean,
a big change.
These guys are huge, huge sticklers to, you know, to their diet. I remember, you know, Cam Wake. I remember doing some shows with Cam Wake talking about him. That guy eats nothing that's not, you know, lean, you know, vegetables, whatever. I mean, I tried to slide him a Snickers bar. It was like I was
passing
a rattlesnake to him, you know?
No, it's the truth.
Oh, get that thing away from me.
It's either, you know, you got your juicers, got your guys that are just kind of on lean stuff.
Yeah.
But how about the guys, and I give them a lot of credit, guys that go outside of the organization to get their meals.
Yes.
And the food here is really good. Well, and they've had so much to choose from. But guys, specifically to their diet, to the T, I mean, every day.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, in season, out of season, they've got their schedule down, and they take it serious.
Yeah, and there's a good number of these guys. And I would say that if you're a starter in this league, you kind of fit the persona that you could do this if you want. I know I talked to a lot of those guys. They've all got their own chefs.
Right.
They have somebody that comes in, cooks their meals for them, and cooks exactly what they want, makes sure that they're on a lean diet and do the whole, all the things that are going to give them their energy, give them their endurance, all those types of things, but not pack on the weight for them and let them to get where they want to be. So, yeah, it's a funny thing now how they, you know, how it goes. And, you know, for me, I guess being in a situation, John, much like you when you played, you know, where you had that long time off.
You had more time to do what you wanted to do, and no one was watching you.
Yeah.
No one was observing or calling in and checking on you because you were just gone, and you were going to come back in 3 or 4 or 5 months, and you were going to start, you know, right up again. And as you got closer to that date, certain guys knew when they needed to start to get kind of in shape. But you used that long stretch in camp, in training camp, for an example you just led. You had 6 preseason games.
Yeah.
There's no way you want to be at your peak when you hit camp. Absolutely. It's too long of a time.
You would lose. You would get out of shape by the time the end of training was over. But it was fine. I remember my first my rookie year here. We played the Minnesota Vikings, the last game of the season at the Orange Bowl. And got the crap kicked out of us by Minnesota. It wasn't a very good year for the Dolphins that year. And I remember Coach Shula going around and kind of, you know, first of all, chewing everyone's ass quickly, you know?
That was pretty good.
And then the last thing he said was, I'll see you guys in May. And that was it. You go from, you know, that was probably a December
finish.
Late December finish. I'll see you guys in May.
You got a half a year almost.
You know, so. Yeah, a little different now, but I like I said, I know these guys are on vacation, but you know, not far from that in the back of their mind is what's going to happen and when training camp starts. John, what would you expect out of this football team when training camp starts? Where would you expect them to be in the whole scope of where you want to be? I mean, the big thing is, and we've talked about this enough, you know, with this coaching staff coming back intact for the most part, Adam Gase coming back. The you know, scheme's not going to change.
Right.
Defense is going to change maybe a little bit under Matt Burke, but not much. He's going to keep it pretty tight and kind of tighten things up in there. Terminology is not going to change. And so many of these guys that have been here for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they've been through multiple offensive coordinators, multiple defensive coordinators, multiple systems, multiple different types of terminology. It's got to be comforting for these guys to come back and know that, hey, I already know what this stuff is. I know what I got to do. Now it's just about getting, you know, all I can concentrate on just getting my physical skills better between the time training camp starts and the time the regular season begins.
I think that's a tough question, Bo, only because if I'm Adam Gase and I know where this team left off at OTAs, I thought they looked pretty good running around. They were well organized, not a lot of penalties, not a lot of turnovers, but good turnovers. You saw some good plays defensively. You saw some nice passes over the top of coverage offensively. But how do you keep the reins a little bit back so this team doesn't just take off and all of a sudden they're peaking when you don't want them to peak? You know, it's the preseason, and like a couple years ago in Atlanta, they go down the field, they score. Hey, we think this offense is going to be pretty good. And all of a sudden you come to the regular season and things are a little misfiring. You know, a couple assignment misses up front, and all of a sudden you got a couple sacks, a turnover, and this team's not scoring points. So I think you have to be smart. I think you have to let them go. I think you coach them just like you coached them when they left OTAs, because I think that expectation that he has is very high. And he wants them to ride that, and he wants them to kind of coast into the preseason where you get your work, quality work, you get out, you stay healthy, but then you just ramp those guys up and you kind of let them go as that opening gate really opens.
It's funny, the coaching mentality. I just read an article today. It was either today or yesterday. I think it's Pagano. He's still up in Indianapolis.
About the hitting?
He says, "Hey, look, we're gonna hit hard. I'm gonna paraphrase. We're gonna hit harder than we have before in training camp, and just hold our breath and hope that we don't get hurt."
Well, that's tough. That's a tough way to go through the NFL.
That's a hard way to go. It is, man.
I just think that I remember watching practices, and I'm kind of moving back and forth, going, "Hey, get that guy out of here. He's got enough reps." Yeah. And when you get into that mentality, hey, we need to be a tougher football team. Yeah. Maybe that's what Indy's trying to do, or maybe more physical of a football team, and more hitting in your mind thinks that that's going to get that done. Well, I don't know. Yeah. It's a fine line. And only the coach has the pulse of that team to really say, hey, let's get after it a little bit more in training camp. I would take it the opposite way. If you know your guys and you've got enough veterans on your football team, you know, there's back certain guys you can let them go and get them, let them mix it up a little bit. Yeah. But there's other guys, you know, I don't need to see Adamagan Sue and Cam Wake get physical during training camp.
Right.
But I know what they're bringing.
But you've got...
You got to sharpen your knife, too.
Yeah,
right.
When you don't want to have a dull blade when Tampa comes to town.
Right, exactly.
You know? And it takes you 3 weeks to get to, you know, to your
And that's
peak.
Why those head coaches get paid so much. Yeah. That's why the position coaches need to communicate with the coach. Say, hey, my guy, you need to back off Andre Branch a little bit because he's ready to either get in a fight, which maybe you want him to. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you need to back him off a little bit because I think he's got enough.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this group, especially like you said now, they've got some veterans that know what they do. That know this defense, know this offense. They can just go out there. Quite frankly, half the whole offense, for the most part, can.
Everybody's penciled in. We're ready to go.
Exactly what's going on. They're ready to go.
And I think we're closer on defense to getting to that point as well. There might be some interchangeable parts where guys are playing, you know, 70% of the snaps where they played 90 before.
Yeah.
And the same, you flip that around. But I think you've got enough bodies now that can play that you don't worry about who you're rolling out with.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's get some questions in, okay?
All right.
At Kaleska, hey, Bo, have coaches ever made players practice willpower techniques like meditation and visualization? Certainly not in my day, but I would say now that those things are all part of the agenda. I would think, you know, they've got, you know, they've got nutritionists, they've got sports psychologists, they've got all these things. And I would say that would fall into the realm of the sports psychologists, the guys that they've brought in to handle all that stuff.
I can't remember which regime this was, Bo, but I can still remember walking through camp and you hear that music like you're getting a massage right?
Yeah.
And you know, quiet pleas were all over the place and everybody's kind of zipping around and meditating.
Yeah.
Those things do happen.
Yeah.
But I wasn't on a team that was lucky enough to kind of take 5 to 10 minutes to get the massage and relax.
We went to Coach Shula 1 year during the offseason, sent us to aerobics class. And we thought that was, whoa,
what are we doing?
Aerobics, are you kidding me? You know, and so we bitched and moaned and pissed and, you know, and all about the whole thing and went and did it. And did it make a difference? I don't know if it made a difference or not, but that was our... I guess that was our, like, reaching into the...
No hot yoga for you guys. Okay.
No. So, but yeah, I think I think there's a lot of guys that use that kind of meditation.
I know
I guarantee you visualization is a big part of their, of what they go through. So, yeah, I think they do. El Chapo Jr., what's more important for the guys to stay in shape, cardio and endurance or strength training? Well, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that you could probably pick up your cardio easier during training camp than you would your strength.
Yes.
They lift during, they're going to still lift during training camp and during the regular season. But I think that's a tougher thing to, you know, it's, I think it goes away faster and it's harder to get it back, the strength part of it. The cardio to me is, I think, you know, if you're anywhere near, you can get it back pretty quickly.
You know, I was watching some of the veterans during OTAs, and Byron Maxwell was a prime example. You know, everybody's kind of going through special teams. There's guys that are involved. Majority of the guys are involved. Some are not. Yep. Cam Wake's not. Ryan Tannehill's not. Byron Maxwell, one of those guys that is not. He's doing gassers. You know, he's doing 110 gassers, 120 gassers, you know, 100-yard gassers. Down the field and back, down the field and back, down the field and back. And he's getting his cardio in because, you know, either he felt like he needed it or that was his part of his regular routine. Yeah. But those guys find a way to get their cardio in because, you know, it's not like you're in your Optimus high school college where everybody's lining up and you're running.
Yeah.
You're getting your cardio in as you go along into practice.
Yeah. And it's not unusual during training camp or during the regular season to see a practice end where guys are catching balls with the jugs gun or the punters are punting or people are doing this, to see a handful of guys over on the side running gassers and doing their cardio or their conditioning.
Don't be the first guy in the locker room.
No.
Okay?
No.
That's rule number one.
No.
I've known too many guys.
I know too many of those guys. It makes me laugh because we usually had the guy. We used to have a family that was, they were big Dolphin fans, a whole family. And they owned a bakery here in Dania, right?
Okay.
And they used to bring cakes over almost every day. There would be a cake. And, you know, guys would walk. We'd walk into practice and say, oh, the cake. And they'd go to practice. And the big guys were always, you know, as soon as practice, they're getting their conditioning by sprinting back in to get their hands on that cake. First of all, before someone screws it up and does something stupid to it, you know. So I guess, you know, different strokes for different folks. Simon JPFC, Bo, my 10-year-old son plays here in the UK. He's a born linebacker. What's the best piece of advice you can give? Well, I would watch guys play, see what they do. I would go on YouTube and watch guys working out, train. I mean, there's so much now with the internet. There's so many different things you can watch on that. But I would work, if you want to be a linebacker, I would work on lateral movement. I would work on, you know, I used to do this all the time when I played linebacker. I would put a row of dummies and I would force myself to go across the line as if I was pursuing down the line of scrimmage.
Right.
You know, you don't turn your shoulders, just kind of keep your shoulders square and just get that. So you're going over to, and then keep your hands down in case you have to push someone's head down and do that. To me, that was always because look, if you're playing and you're trying to get down the line of scrimmage, there's a good chance that someone's going to be laying there.
That's right.
That you're going to have to go over the top of. So doing stuff like that, you know, I would just say, you know, just keep them going in change of direction. All those things to me, as a 10-year-old, that's kind of what I would concentrate on.
Yeah, I tell them to play multiple sports. I can't stand all the singular sports where, you know, you're a baseball player, you're a football player. Play as many sports as you can to be athletic, to train other muscles, because you're going to need that, especially if you're a linebacker with high knees getting over blocks. Yeah. Like Bo said, hey, soccer might be for you.
Yeah.
You might not think it is, but in the UK, it might be perfect for you. You know, hit a baseball. Get your hand-eye coordination going.
Play basketball.
Do something other than your core sport, because that – kind of leads you down the road of being multifaceted at your position.
I'm with you, I really dislike this whole, you know, my son's a baseball player, he can play baseball year round.
Right.
He's going to be on his school team, he's going to be on a travel team, he's going to be on a summer league team, he's going to be in this. And by the time he's 15, 16 years old, he's so sick of baseball, he doesn't want to see it again.
Right.
So that's one of the aspects of it. And I grew up playing all sports, you grew up playing all sports. And I can't help but believe, and in fact, I'm sure, things I did in other sports. I'll give you a good example. To me, trying to play defense in basketball, in the way you've got to bend
position,
your hips,
you got to
bend
balance.
Your knees, you got to balance, you got to be able to go either way. You can't tell me there are times when you play football where that comes into effect,
right?
Or other things that you learn from other sports that make you a more balanced athlete, and you work on skills that you may not work on as a football player. But at some point when you're playing, you go, I needed that. Yeah,
right.
I was able to pull that out of my pocket because I've done it my whole life.
I just think it makes you a better all-around athlete. It works on your balance, your hand and eye coordination, and your lateral movement.
Yeah.
You know, just your quick movements in lacrosse, you know, being able to catch the ball and be able to run with it and sustain when you're getting banged. Yeah. You know, it's like going on the outside if you're a receiver trying to get off press coverage and getting around somebody. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that you can correlate from other sports that help you in your core sport.
Yeah. That's good good advice. I would go along with that, Simon. Black man game. Seems like the roster is already set. What under-the-radar guys may sneak under 53? I would say, John, right now,
There's probably two or three linebackers we haven't even mentioned their names that have a chance, you know, to creep on, or a corner or a safety that's backing up that might have a chance to get on the roster. I think more on the offensive, we've talked about the backup linemen, that, you know, those three guys, if Mike Pouncey's healthy. Yeah. You know, you got Steen, Urbick, and Brendel that have a chance, right?
Yeah.
At wide receiver, everybody was talking about Morgan, you know, maybe having a chance. But on the defensive side, you know, some of those...
And there's a little more gray area.
Yeah, like defensive tackles, there's a lot of room.
Yes, yes.
A lot of room for guys to raise their hands and
defensive
say,
tackles. And like you said, linebacker, I mean, that's going to be up for grabs. Cornerbacks and safeties. But I would say this, of the 53-man roster right now, and I'm going to assume that, because it seems like more and more every year, most of your draft picks, there's only 7 draft picks, most of them make the team.
Yes.
Let's say 5 make the team and just be conservative. Say 5 make the team. I would say if you take 5 spots for the drafted rookies and the guys who are here, I would think that when you go into this training camp, John, which I think is a good thing to me, there may be half a dozen jobs available, maybe?
Probably.
Maybe. Maybe four jobs, somewhere around there. But I would say between 6 and 10.
Six to 10 is the high number.
Very high.
Okay.
10's a very high number.
And I'm talking about injury and things like that. But everybody that's on pencil to paper right now, you're right. 6, 7 is probably the top number.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Black Man Game. That seems the roster's pretty well set. It's going to be those free. And look, the guys that are going to make the team, unless you get one of these guys that comes as free agent, comes out of nowhere and turns out to be a Pro Bowler.
Right.
You know, most of those guys are going to be from 45 to 53 on the roster. And they're going to be in the... They're going to be what I call the spin cycle.
Yeah.
You're always going out.
You're wanted. You just wanted in a lot of places. That's the bad part.
That's right. So, Dolphin 209, Bo, do you think you could start on this team? I'm talking about 1977, Bo. Yeah, I don't have any doubt that I could. I think I could have started a linebacker. I think I could start a defense. Well, defensive end might be tough with.
Well, you're in the rotation.
I'd be in the rotation. No doubt about that. I'd definitely be in the rotation.
It seems like, you know what? But that's how it's changed, Bo. You know, you think about the guys that you played with. Yeah. How many snaps those guys played without, you know, raising their hand saying, I got to come out?
John, I tell you, quite frankly, I rarely
came out of the game.
I don't ever remember somebody tapping out, you know?
It wasn't even brought up.
Yeah.
The coach would go, get back in there.
I remember we were playing Pittsburgh. Rocky Blair hit me right in my knee, and I figured it was blown.
Done.
I knew it was done. And I come walk on the field, and she goes, where are you going? I go, my knee. He goes, get back out there. It's all right.
It's not halftime yet.
Go back there.
Go back out there.
But look, when I came in, there wasn't any
substitutions.
There was no substitutions at all. You were a linebacker.
Your 11 defenders went out and played. Yeah. The only time you came out was for injury
or
you forced a punt.
Yeah.
And sometimes you stayed out for safe punt.
Yeah, for safety. Yeah, you know? Exactly. No doubt about it. And then really about 2 or 3 years into my career, that Bill Arnsbauer he started this, you know, the situation, taking a linebacker out and
for
putting an extra safety.
Yeah.
You know, doing that. Or taking this guy linebacker out and put another linebacker that's more of a pass coverage guy. And doing that type of thing. That was the beginning of where we're at right now, where everything is
specialized
and fine-tuned and everything. So, yeah, different deal. Periscope, do we keep 2 or 3 quarterbacks? Is Dowdy a legit NFL quarterback? I think they like Brandon Dowdy. You know, a third-string quarterback, John, is a funny it's a funny spot there. You know, it's important, but if that guy has to play, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I talked about this the other day in a conversation about he has the talent and the ability to be an NFL quarterback. He has the talent and the ability to be on this roster.
Yes.
But according to numbers, how that shakes out, he may be on the practice roster again just because you need that extra roster spot at another position. And it's fluid situation. You may go back and forth depending on who you're playing and who you need in, you know, up and ready to be dressed on that given weekend.
Yeah. But Brandon's challenge is going to be David Fales. They signed David Fales during the offseason. He's the fourth guy, so they'll play. And, you know, David's been a guy who's bounced around a number of teams. San Jose State guy bounced around. Not the strongest arm, but a pretty
active
player.
And he's a guy that I wasn't so high on when I saw early in OTAs, but he grew on me because he started making more plays and he kept putting the ball on time and on target. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're going, you know what, this is going to be a good competition come summer camp.
The problem that David Fales is facing is that, you know, okay, we got a guy here that we feel like we can develop and there may be something there.
We know where
David Fales is.
Right.
He's been in the league for about, 3 or 4 years now. You kind of know.
He's almost maxed out of where you're going to get him.
He is, and he's beyond the stage of being a developmental guy.
Right.
Dowdy is still in that developmental type of thing, so I think going in that would give him the inside.
In my opinion, David's got to find a spot like Matt Moore in his niche because you can depend on him. You know where he's at.
Yeah.
You know what his top side is, and can you sustain that through your career when you're called from the bullpen? You know, and you got to come in.
Yeah, because I don't know how many David. I don't know. Maybe he's played a handful of games. Maybe.
Yeah.
If even. I don't know if he's played many games.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Reverse Spider-Man. Which position group do you guys like watching during training camp, and who's your favorite player to watch during practice? You know, I tend to I tend to focus on line play.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to look at offensive line v defensive line. I tend to look at one-on-one pass rushing drills as opposed to one-on-one receiver versus cornerback.
Right.
It's where I grew up. It's what I always played. So I tend to stay. I stay in that direction.
My favorite, obviously, one-on-one pass. Yep. You know, wide receiver, cornerback. I love watching defensive ends against tackles.
Yes.
For some reason, yep. I just like that dynamic to know one. You know. On the offensive side, this guy's got really good feet. He's got really good athleticism. Yep. He got beat and he made up for it.
Yep.
And on the defensive side, man, that guy's got a great first step that match quick hands. He's going to be tough. Yep. To deal with. I don't care who we're playing. So I kind of like the one-on-one aspects.
Yeah, I do too. But I'm kind of a line guy, so it's tough. I mean, I try to watch every day. When I'm down on the sideline, I'm trying to watch because I try to catch a snapshot inside.
Yeah. And then zoom out.
Run pass. If it's run, I'll stay kind of in tight and then run. But as soon as I see his pass set, then I kind of try to get out there as wide as I can and see. It's
fun. I enjoy watching practice because you learn so much about what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. And if you take individual work and you watch that and then you try to piece it together when they come together, it makes sense on why they're running certain routes and why they're running certain coverages.
And I like to see the guys, and I go back, someone asked me about one of my favorite players in the Dolphins. I said, Devon Best was one of my favorite players. And one of the things I liked about Devon when he was here was that I don't care if it was a preseason, a training camp practice, a regular season practice, a walkthrough practice, whatever it was, he always ran routes with a purpose. You could always tell that he was working on something. And to see those guys that go through there, take care of their business that way, that, hey, look, I'm going to be out here. I got to do these reps anyway. I'm gonna get better today doing by working the way I need to work and trying to improve.
And there's a lot of guys on this team that do that now. Yeah. That got contagious. I know Devon did that, and I agree with you. Landry does the same thing, and it gets contagious on this team by watching him work.
Yeah, no doubt. EmanU4U55305. Bo, you've been styling profiling lately. Nice shirt.
Nice shirt, man. We've got the golf attire. It's summer.
No,
right?
I get these shirts from my man Jimmy Maitland. Takes care of me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'll give my man a shout out at there.
Give
me a discount.
I was just gonna say, where's the discount? Did you get on Monday? Did Keontae come in from Paul?
No, Paul came empty handed.
Nothing.
Castronovo came in empty handed.
Wow.
Yeah, but he heard about it. So
yeah, okay, good.
Another Periscope question. You guys see Walt Akins playing and playing at corner. How do you look? I think the reviews on Walt Akins at corner from everything I've heard have been pretty good.
He did
a good
job.
Athlete,
You know what? He was probably a little bit more top heavy last year in terms of building up because he was going to play safety on special teams. This year, I think he came outside. He was in more of a natural corner anyway. So he's kind of a bigger version of Michael Thomas, in my opinion.
Yes.
He can do all the same things, although I don't think Walt can go in the nickel corner spot. Yeah. Where Michael can, because he's a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker, but I think they're very similar in traits, being able to do a lot of things for this team.
No doubt. S'more Lover 93, Kenjemi, do you still watch the CFL?
I watched yesterday.
If so, did you catch week one?
I caught two or three games,
yeah.
Watched the Argos beat the hated Ticats yesterday at home, so it was nice. Ricky Ray threw for 500 yards yesterday.
That was my boy, the Hamilton Tiger. Ralph Sazio.
Ralph
was a buddy
of
mine.
He was my GM.
Was he?
Yeah, Ralph Sazio.
Ralph was a buddy of mine. Ralph used to call me. I met Ralph through a friend of mine that was a harness driver, and we became friends. And Ralph used to call me. He was with the Tiger Cats, I believe, at the time. And Ralph used to call me like the week before the final cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who's going to get
think?
Cut?
What do you think? What do we
who's
need?
Who's going to get cut and who can sue?
And who can play up here?
Yeah, who can play?
He ended up owning the Toronto Argonauts. Yeah. And then remember the guy who took, I think it was Zonka Kick and Warfield.
Bassett.
Leo Cahill
was
the guy. He was the general manager in Toronto that signed me, who signed Joe Theismann first before he came to the NFL.
To Canada.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Crazy.
Ralph Sazio,
yeah. Good stuff up there. Johnny, pleasure, man.
Hey, that was fun, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it for today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Not sure who's going to be here, but I'll be here, and we'll find out who's going to be here on the other side of the table. Who knows, maybe I'll be here by myself, and that'll be very, very
the best show of the year.
Yeah. It would be just over and over, saying the same thing over and over and over, and no more. We're gone. We'll see you next time.